Segundo documento. Lo escuchará dos veces. Dispone de un minuto y medio para leer el cuestionario.
I had been a climber for a number of years when I agreed to go on a 3-day ramble with my friend Sonia. I'd recently moved to Christchurch, New Zealand to go to university. Sonia was in my year, though she was 10 years younger than me. I was in my mid-30s. It was a few days before Christmas, and we set off on what should have been a 3-day ramble across the nearby Arthur's Pass National Park. We planned to stay in hikers' huts along the way, meeting up with friends and family at the end of our trek. A day and a half in, we found our route up a narrow valley blocked by an unseasonable slab of snow and ice. It looked impossible to get over without climbing equipment, so our only options were to climb around it by heading up the cliffs to our left or give up on the hike. But it was a lovely day and we decided to risk the climb. At first, the going wasn't too bad. I expected to reach the path within an hour. But the rocks turned to scree. The climb became an exhausting scramble, and as morning wore into afternoon, we became tired and uncertain. At 3 p.m., we reached a rocky ledge, not much bigger than a tabletop. It was uncomfortable, but flat, and Sonia was just relieved to sit down. We decided to stay there overnight and set off again in the morning. I estimated we were half an hour from the trail, and we'd still have the option of turning back. But by morning, a persistent rain had set in, and there was no way I was going to risk our lives on wet rocks. We just had to make ourselves as comfortable as we could and wait for the weather to clear. I knew that rain can last for weeks in the mountains, but didn't want to tell Sonia. At first, she seemed happy to accept my assurances that the rain would pass. After a few days, though, her optimism dwindled. Huddling together in our sleeping bags kept out some of the cold and wet, but there was no escaping the profound discomfort of sitting on sharp rocks hour after hour. Our legs were always bent. There was no room to stretch. Most of the provisions we had were Christmas gifts, including expensive biscuits, cheese and salami. I had some tinned oysters, but Sonia was intolerant to fish. I planned to drop in on some friends on the West Coast on Christmas Day and was carrying a bottle of wine. Instead, I spent the day on the ledge and drank it with Sonia, but that was as festive as things got. I also had to persuade Sonia that as long as we were outdoors, we couldn't allow ourselves to sleep. When you're asleep, your core temperature drops, which could have resulted in hypothermia. I'd keep Sonia awake with stupid made-up songs designed to irritate. As the days wore on, we had to resort to more extreme methods. I'm not sure which of us slapped the other first, but I know we discussed it beforehand. Eventually, we were punching one another in the face to keep the adrenaline pumping. After a week, we knew Sonia's family would have raised the alarm when she hadn't turned up on Christmas Day. We kept the faith even as our dwindling rations ran out and we were forced to eat snow to quench our thirst. I knew we couldn't survive much longer. On the ninth day, though, the weather cleared, and we made a desperate decision. If help didn't arrive that morning, we'd attempt to climb back down the canyon, despite our fatigue, hunger, and trench foot. We'd had to abandon our boots. Then we heard a helicopter approaching, and we were able to lay out signals, stand up, and wave. My sister and Sonia's sister were on board and couldn't believe what they saw. They'd given up hope of finding us alive and had been searching for our bodies. It's about the longest two people had survived in those conditions. I've never celebrated Christmas particularly, but that's definitely the most memorable way I've spent it. Sonia and I remained on good terms afterwards, and she never blamed me for what happened, but I've always felt responsible. I was the experienced climber and should have insisted on turning back when we had the chance. I'll never lead anyone else into a situation like that again, however tempting the adventure.
Dispone de 45 segundos para releer y contestar el cuestionario antes de volver a escuchar el documento.
I'd been a climber for a number of years when I agreed to go on a 3-day ramble with my friend Sonia. I'd recently moved to Christchurch, New Zealand to go to university. Sonia was in my year, though she was 10 years younger than me. I was in my mid-30s. It was a few days before Christmas, and we set off on what should have been a 3-day ramble across the nearby Arthur's Pass National Park. We planned to stay in hikers' huts along the way, meeting up with friends and family at the end of our trek. A day and a half in, we found our route up a narrow valley blocked by an unseasonable slab of snow and ice. It looked impossible to get over without climbing equipment, so our only options were to climb around it by heading up the cliffs to our left or give up on the hike. But it was a lovely day and we decided to risk the climb. At first, the going wasn't too bad. I expected to reach the path within an hour. But the rocks turned to scree. The climb became an exhausting scramble, and as morning wore into afternoon, we became tired and uncertain. At 3 p.m., we reached a rocky ledge, not much bigger than a tabletop. It was uncomfortable, but flat, and Sonia was just relieved to sit down. We decided to stay there overnight and set off again in the morning. I estimated we were half an hour from the trail, and we'd still have the option of turning back. But by morning, a persistent rain had set in, and there was no way I was going to risk our lives on wet rocks. We just had to make ourselves as comfortable as we could and wait for the weather to clear. I knew that rain can last for weeks in the mountains, but didn't want to tell Sonia. At first, she seemed happy to accept my assurances that the rain would pass. After a few days, though, her optimism dwindled. Huddling together in our sleeping bags kept out some of the cold and wet, but there was no escaping the profound discomfort of sitting on sharp rocks hour after hour. Our legs were always bent. There was no room to stretch. Most of the provisions we had were Christmas gifts, including expensive biscuits, cheese and salami. I had some tinned oysters, but Sonia was intolerant to fish. I planned to drop in on some friends on the West Coast on Christmas Day and was carrying a bottle of wine. Instead, I spent the day on the ledge and drank it with Sonia, but that was as festive as things got. I also had to persuade Sonia that as long as we were outdoors, we couldn't allow ourselves to sleep. When you're asleep, your core temperature drops, which could have resulted in hypothermia. I'd keep Sonia awake with stupid made-up songs designed to irritate. As the days wore on, we had to resort to more extreme methods. I'm not sure which of us slapped the other first, but I know we discussed it beforehand. Eventually, we were punching one another in the face to keep the adrenaline pumping. After a week, we knew Sonia's family would have raised the alarm when she hadn't turned up on Christmas Day. We kept the faith even as our dwindling rations ran out and we were forced to eat snow to quench our thirst. I knew we couldn't survive much longer. On the ninth day, though, the weather cleared and we made a desperate decision. If help didn't arrive that morning, we'd attempt to climb back down the canyon despite our fatigue, hunger and trench foot. We'd had to abandon our boots. Then we heard a helicopter approaching, and we were able to lay out signals, stand up and wave. My sister and Sonia's sister were on board and couldn't believe what they saw. They'd given up hope of finding us alive and had been searching for our bodies. It's about the longest two people had survived in those conditions. I've never celebrated Christmas particularly, but that's definitely the most memorable way I've spent it. Sonia and I remained on good terms afterwards, and she never blamed me for what happened, but I've always felt responsible. I was the experienced climber and should have insisted on turning back when we had the chance. I'll never lead anyone else into a situation like that again, however tempting the adventure.
Dispone de un minuto para releer el cuestionario y completar la tarea. Fin de la segunda tarea.